Blog Talk Radio.
So we just give God the glory. Yes. Can you hear me?
Master, Redeemer, Savior.
Hallelujah.
Bright morning star.
Jesus Christ is Lord,
And he's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell him you're sorry for your sins. Ask him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, he'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why you came and died on the cross for me. And I ask you, oh God, that you will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just ask him to come in now. Yes, there he is. There he is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because he died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah. Praise you, Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm just so excited about this year. You know, every day that we live, we get closer and closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to get excited about Jesus. Instead of being so disturbed all the time about what the devil's doing. Look, Jesus is doing things too. And you just need to understand that God is on our side. And who can be against you if God is on your side? We're going to invite Brother Bill up, and he's going to open us up in prayer. And Brother Bill, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm right here, Pastor.
Okay. Would you open
you
us
hear me
up
okay? for prayer? Yes, I'll be happy to. Father, in Jesus' name, I just cover this show with the blood of Jesus. We take authority over the strong man. Every devil that's been sent, we bind them and we command them all to go into cages, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to draw the people from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. We come against every spirit that would hinder them. Every hindering spirit, anything that's whispering into their minds that they're too tired to come up tonight, we just take authority over every one of those spirits, and we plead the blood of Jesus over their minds. We gather the mouths of every one of them spirits speaking into their minds with the blood of Jesus. And Father, we ask you to draw the people. We ask you to give them all faith, release faith from your kingdom to receive everything that you have for them, that you would touch them, Lord Jesus, everyone tonight, since they are talking about miracles and healings, that you would give everyone that comes up tonight the miracle or the healing that they need or deliverance, that you would open them up and give them spiritual understanding, that you would quicken their spirits, and that you would make them all good ground so they all can receive everything that they need from you, that you would touch them with your finger, that the finger of God would come upon everyone that comes up tonight that is looking and needing a touch from you, Lord. We just cry out for all of our family members. I cry out, Father, for all of the bewitched Christians in this Laodicean church, the ones that are under that phony bewitching spirit, Father. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to give them eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you would call them out of that. That you would say, come out of her, my people. And Father, I ask you to give all of us a heart for souls in the last days. That you would give every one of us a desire to get souls for your kingdom. I know that you would have none to perish, Father. And in Jesus' name, I ask you to make all of us ready for your return. That you would make us without spot or wrinkle. That you would keep us on fire. That you would put a hot coal upon our heart and upon our lungs. And that you would make us hot and on fire for you. That you'd fill us all with your Holy Spirit to the overflow. That we would all be worthy to stand in your presence. That we would be the wife that has made herself ready and ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Make us all ready, Father. Show everyone the importance and how quickly you are coming, Lord, because I know time is short. You have fulfilled so much of your work. There's not much left for you to fulfill before you return home. And we cry out for all of our family members, too, Lord. We ask you to save all of their souls, in Jesus' name. Every one of us here want to be so close to you, Lord. We just want to be able to lay our heads upon your chest and know what you're thinking, just like John did. And Father, in Jesus' name, above all, save all of our family members. Let us see it with our eyes. Please do a quick work for them. Let us all see. We bind every bewitching spirit, every antichrist devil, anything would keep them from coming to your knowledge. And we command all of those devils to disconnect from their minds and we lose the conviction of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you've done. And we praise you. And I plead the blood of Jesus over Pastor Pat, over Dr. Sabrina and Marshall tonight. I ask you to protect all of them. And thank you, Lord, for giving those people that know how to set the captives free, that you've trained those ministers. And thank you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord. We give you glory and praise. And we thank you for those that are in the chat room tonight. And we thank you also, Lord Jesus, for every single person that you touched last year. And we expect that you're going to touch some more as we minister to the people in Jesus' name. For you are God, and you're able to do so much more than we can even think of. We give you praise for this radio program. We ask that you send listeners, you send givers, and that you will send people that will support this ministry. We give you praise. We call them in to the Blog Talk Radio. We call them in also to our local church here from the north, east, south, and west, and the surrounding areas where we live, the surrounding counties even. And Father God, we give you praise and glory that you can certainly do more than we can even think of. For you are God, and you're worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. And we thank you for being with us tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, you all, if you have a Facebook, if you'll click into it and put that we're on the air, and if you will, if you'll tell them to come on up, because we're live on the air, and we are going to talk to you tonight about signs, wonders, miracles, and healing. And we teach that it's for today. And the reason is Jesus absolutely never died. I mean, he died and resurrected, but we are serving a living God. And so that's what we're here to tell you, that Jesus is alive. And since he's alive, he can still do wonderful things. So we're inviting you to come on up on and listen and see if God has a miracle for you. And God bless you. Now, we're going to talk to you today about miracles. And, you know, we serve a miracle-working God. And it's just amazing always to me that the Christian church, and particularly here in America, are so blinded concerning the power of God. Because They just don't want to believe that Jesus can still do the same things that he did when he was on the earth. And so we need to begin to see Jesus as alive. He knows your name. He's interested in you. He loves you, and he wants to help you. So many people need help. You know, a very wonderful thing happened last week on Blog Talk. We were ministering, taking calls, and a lady that we call Teach, that's not her real name, but we call her Teach. She called in and she said a friend of hers was very sick, and she wanted to know if we could pray for her. And so we said yes. And so she said, well, she's on the phone now. And I said, okay, can she hear us? She said, yes, I can hear you. And she had clicked in to the three-way calling. And we could hear that woman as clearly as we could hear the woman on the radio. And also she could hear us. And so we were able to pray for her. And so the people that are listening out there, call your friends. If you know somebody that's very, very sick, call them on your phone and get them on a three-way call if you can, and we'll be able to pray live for them right over the air. And we just discovered this last week, and thanks, Teach, for calling in. Because, see, if we get concerned about our friends, what will happen is, give me one of those flyers. What will happen is God will move among your friends. Look on the foot of my bed, Sabrina. You put it over the
door
in the brown thing. That's yours.
Oh.
God will move, and what will happen is we'll see miracles happening that we've never seen before, because God's always interested in showing us his power. And so if you know someone that is sick, and just about everybody is in this hour of time, think about it and call them and say, hey, I'm on live radio where they pray for the sick. Would you like somebody to pray for you? And we've seen many miracles up there, which we have. And we just want to invite you to come up and be a part and pray for you. And so I just wanted to share that with you because it's so, so interesting. Now, another thing I wanted to share is, and Dr. Sabrina will type it in, it's the Mass Deliverance Conference, and it'll be live with Dr. Pat Holliday, Pastor Dennis Williams, and Dr. Sabrina, and Brother Bill will be there, and many of your old friends will be there, and we will have that February the 16th, excuse me, and the 17th, Saturday and Sunday. And we'll start teaching Saturday morning at 10 to 12. And so we'll have meetings all throughout the day, breaking for lunch and dinner. And then we'll have mass deliverances at these meetings. And then we'll meet Sunday morning for praise and worship, teaching, miracles, and deliverance. And I'll tell you, when you can see people eye to eye and you have hands on, God can show them things that they have forgotten, and he can show you things that they need to know. So we want you to try to come to the Mass Deliverance Conference live at Best Western Hotel, JTB South Point, at Salisbury Road and Butler Boulevard, Jacksonville, Florida. And they will give you room discounts when you call asking them, telling them that you're coming. The reservation line is 800-842-1348. So this is your invitation to fly to freedom. Jeremiah 1:12 says, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So we want you to come and be with us at the conference and know that God loves you, that you're precious in his sight, that he died on the cross and he was beaten 39 stripes so that you could be healed. And so, you know, when people were punished over in the Old Testament, they were given 39 lashes. And so those 39 stripes simply means, my darling people, I have taken your 39 lashes on the cross. And so that's why you see the scripture, by his stripes we are healed. And you know, over in Isaiah, it says, by his stripes we were healed. And that's in Isaiah 53. And so it spoke before Jesus was ever crucified. The prophecy was as if it was available for right then, which it was, because of the fact there's no time in eternity. And so Jesus, those people over in Isaiah, if they cried out to the Lord, he could have healed them in the Old Testament. And really, in many cases, Old Testament saints were healed. And so God heals today. Now, there's some churches in America, and they've made a doctrine out of it, and they say that, quote, the age of miracles have passed. And they say that it was just for the apostles. Well, you see, if God's mind was like those crazy, crooked minds are, carnal minds, if he did that, he would be a God that is a respecter of persons. And the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. And so what we're saying to you is this. God never died after his resurrection. He went and sat at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus did, and he's available to his church. And his church is every living, breathing Christian that is sold out and dedicated to his cross and to his life and to his kingdom. And so God is available for us. The problem is that in many instances, churches have taught funny, strange doctrines over the centuries for so long, and they just get up and they just start talking about their families, themselves, their new cars, their great homes, or whatever. But they don't talk about the Word of God and the power of Jesus Christ shown in the Word of God. And so it's very imperative that the Christian church wake up quickly. I'm calling for a great awakening in the political circles as well as in the spiritual circles. And I want to tell you, you know, we had a wonderful prayer up here a couple of weeks ago, New Year's, where we prayed for not only ourselves, our families, and our churches, but we prayed for the governments of the world. And we took authority over that spirit of communism that's flying into our country so quickly. And we cover this ministry and what we say with the blood of Jesus and bind all the watchers, the listeners, and the reporters. And you can go into confusion and division. You will not understand what we say. And so we've been seeing that there's been a great push for people to get the guns of the American people. And they're over, I think, 300 million or 300 people in America that have guns. There's millions of them anyway. But a Christian's always thinking this direction. Well, you know, I don't like guns. I don't carry a gun, so I'm not interested in that. But the reason that you must be interested in that is because it's the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And you might not carry a gun, which I don't. Jesus is my big gun. But the thing between America right now and tyranny are those guns. The government, they are buying billions of guns through the various places in our government, such as Social Security and welfare. I mean, all of a sudden you'll see that they bought another billion guns. The government is arming people, and it's always been a fact that our safety here has relied on the fact that the citizens are armed. And where you have people without a band of guns, you will have a lower crime rate. You might understand that's, what's that name of that place, Sandy, where the murder went? Well, anyway, the 27 kids were just killed. You might understand that was a state that banned guns. So banning guns is not going to keep our children from being murdered. Over in Israel, they have the teachers armed in the schools to protect the children. In America, all of our politicians are armed, and they have bodyguards. And the president's children, where they go to school, they have people armed up on the roof and around that school, Secret Service people. And the woman that is banning the guns, or trying to get it through the Senate, she carries a gun for her own protection. And so they're not interested in us being protected. They're protected, but they're interested in getting the guns so that they can totally bring us into the realms of communism. And that's why you need to stand up for the Second Amendment. And but I was telling you that Illinois last week was going to put a gun bill through. And you might know that Illinois is ruled over like a mafia government. You remember Daley and all of those people? Well, it just changes from hand to hand, but it's a mafia-type government. And Emanuel, the man that has dual citizenship between America and Israel, is now the mayor of Chicago. And he was Obama's second-hand man for the first couple of years when Obama went to office. And he's a socialist, as is Obama. So despite that, because some of the underground radio people and the people that are standing against tyranny got the message out that gun bill was going to be passed last week, thousands and thousands of people showed up to the state capitol, and they backed down, and they're legislation failed to pass. And you see, all of the newspapers said that it was going to pass. Now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this for two reasons. The first reason is this, that I am a constitutionalist Christian. I believe that the Constitution protects us from tyranny. Although they elected Obama, who is illegally the president of the United States, because he's confessed boldly that he was born in Kenya. And our Constitution forbids a foreigner to be the president of the United States. Well, he sat in the White House the first term, and he's back in there. And the people that wrote the Constitution warned, do not let a foreigner stand at the gateway of your country. Because you see, their love is different than what a person that's born in the nation is for the country. But anyway, that's one of the reasons. I believe that if we rise up and protect the church and the Constitution, God will help us. And so then the other reason for praying for the awakening is that the church awakens spiritually, because a big portion of our church has joined the government. Many of your big mega churches, for instance, they are receiving money from our government that if tyranny comes, that they will tell their people to get on the buses and they will take those people to the FEMA camps. So this is why we stand for the Constitution and spiritual men that won't sell out for money. And most of your mega churches are in that program that Bush formed, faith-friendly program or something. I never joined it, but many of your preachers joined it. And they got money to build things and to do things in their church, which is unconstitutional also. So I'm telling you, my friends, wake up and know that we're under attack. America is under attack. It's under attack. And we are on the verge of losing everything. Our finances, our homes have already been lost. You've got to wake up, and you've got to wake up and pray. Now, we had a prayer meeting at the beginning of the year, and we prayed and bound and caged the communists in this country and around the world. You remember that? And we asked God to come on the scene. Well, when they wanted to pass the same gun bill that they're trying to pass in the Senate as I speak to you, thousands and thousands of people showed up to the Capitol, and they didn't get it passed. And I believe that it was because we and other Christians were praying for the country. You see, prayer is very, 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 very important. And that's why we have Blog Talk Radio and our web pages and our conferences, so that we can reach you and bring to you the truth of what you should be interested in. Now, I just jumped off of the agenda, which I'd usually just go in the direction that God sends me, because tonight we are going to teach on healing and miracles, and we are going to teach on that. So I'm starting that teaching now. You know, God heals today, even though those certain preachers and certain denominations teach that the age of miracles have passed. That is just an insane, worldly, man-taught teaching. It's not in the Bible. You cannot find that in the Bible anywhere. And so this is why we stick to the Bible, so that you can learn, well, what does the Bible say about this? And is she right or is he wrong? Because you're going to churches that are brainwashing you, and they're telling you things that are untrue. And some of them are teaching out of those phony Bibles, and some of those preachers haven't heard the word in 15 or 20 years now since the Illuminati started preaching those phony Bibles. So you might be under a false teacher. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to some of these phony churches, your back is going to hurt. Your back is going to hurt because the demons are coming in, because your mind and your spirit is opening up to those teachings that are not godly, that are man-made teachings. And those demons come in, and we call them religious spirits. And if you willingly sit under a church that is got these religious spirits all over them, I'm going to tell you something. The demons have a right to come in, and they have a right to do whatever they want to in your body. And so that, I'm just telling you, you need to pray if you got pains in your back or if you got pains, arthritis, whatever it is. Start praying and asking God, where is the source of that pain coming from? And the pain can be coming because you're under a false prophet or a false prophetess. It could be coming because a wizard or a witch is working against you. We've covered a lot of that in the last month. It could be coming because you're in sin yourself. It could be coming because you're in disobedience to what God has called you to do. And you may want to do something that you think is good, but God has called you for something else. And you go do what you think is good, then you're open. You see what I'm saying? For instance, I came from a very exclusive part of Jacksonville where the very elite live. And when I got saved, what would have been logical to me would have been to go down there and get me a ministry going down on the edge of that place where people were very wealthy. But God called me, and he put me right over in a part of town where the crack dealers were. I had a man to come up, well, it was a group of them, came up and knocked on the door one night, and they shoved a gun right into my stomach. And they said, those two men sitting middle of the church there, we want them to come outside because we're going to beat the S out of them. And I said, well, they're not coming out. They said, well, we respect churches and we're not going to come in, but we're going to wait until they come out. And a couple of our men, one of them was a cop, went out and just put their hand around their neck and walked them back across the street where the crack dealers were living. And so God is able to protect us. But the reason I'm telling you this is God put me where he wanted me to be. And we never got a big harvest there. We don't get a big harvest in Jacksonville. But God puts us where he wants us to be so that we can grow in the spirit. You're not going to grow under somebody that's teaching that doesn't know what they're talking about spiritually. You're going to stay in that same way. And then when you get struck, you're not going to have the faith to rise up and claim your victory. And so there's a lot of reasons why you listen to the Lord, you learn his word, and you do what the Lord tells you to do. Don't do what you think you want to do, because you can get in serious trouble doing those things. And so the other thing about sickness is that when I would go out to the Pentecostal churches, friends, and minister in America, I remember seeing so many people, and this was charismatic churches too, so many people sick and have people coming through teaching on miracles, signs, and wonders, and even have that gift yourself, as I do, and see people come up, you pray for them, and you can feel the anointing fall back on you because they refuse to receive the truth that Jesus can heal. I've seen it many times in America. Now, when a miracle ministry, deliverance healing ministry, comes into a church in Africa, the word just spreads like wildfire. They don't have leaflets and phones and all of that. It just goes from person to person. And the people over there are sick. They don't have hospitals. They can't afford to go to doctors. And they just turn out in mass. And they come into the churches where we would go, and you would see God healing people as fast as you could pray for them. And you could see the visible miracles that were happening as you prayed for the people. You could see eyes open. You could see the lame throw their crutches down and walk. You could see people that were on their last leg of cancer be healed, and God immediately infused their bodies with his power, and they would get up and dance. And all sorts of things happen when people have to have God, and when people are taught that God is alive, he never died. And so the Bible, for instance, is a Bible that is packed chock full of miracles and healing. The problem is most people have never studied the Word of God. Now, we're coming into the days, for instance, that we're going to have to believe God for miracles, pure miracles. Dr. Sabrina told me when she came in, she said, "My Lord," she said, "gas was what?"
"It went from 315 to 335, and now it's 343, I think."
315 at Christmas time to 345, and now it's...
No, 315 to 335 in the year, and not 343.
343. And so they muck you every way they can. But the point is I knew a woman one time that we prayed for. She was a schizophrenic, and God immediately healed and delivered her from those psychologists call it split personalities. I call it demons. And so we started teaching her about the power of the name of Jesus. And one morning she got up and she started to crank her car up and it wouldn't go. So she just put her hand on the key and she said, "Jesus," she said, "you know, I've got to be across town. Would you make my car go?" So the car started, and she went and did her duties, and she got back home about a block from where she lived, and she said, "I think I'll go into this filling station because my car was having problems starting, and let him see if anything's wrong with it." Well, he opened up the hood, and he turned white, and he said, "Woman," he said, "lady," he said, "if I hadn't seen you drive this car in, I wouldn't believe what I'm looking at." He said, "this car has no batteries in it." And so she was driving all over town, God driving her car with no batteries. And we are absolutely coming in those times as the days grow darker. But I'm going to tell you something. There are many people that are already in those hours of time where they can't afford to drive their cars as they used to. They can't afford the little extra things that they used to buy because every dime that they make, and some of the people that I know used to work one job, and some of them are now working three. So we're going to have to believe God for miracles. And so let me give you some scriptures to write down. In Numbers 11, 21 through 23, God promised meat for a month. Moses doubted it. So the Lord said, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short?" Now, this is believing God for your supplies, my friends. In 2 Kings 4, 1 through 6, the prophet's widow borrowed vessels, and they miraculously filled with enough oil to pay her debts, plus the oil never ran dry. And in those days, oil was as precious as gold, and so she became rich whenever her oil never went dry. Now, in Exodus 16:12-15, God furnished food. God miraculously supplied the quail and the manna in the desert. In Numbers 11:18-20, God sent a month's supply of quail. See verses 31 and 32. In Psalms 78:23-29, he opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna, corn of heaven, angels' food, meant to the full, and you can also see Psalms 105, verse 40. Now, in Psalms 132:15, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. In 1 Kings 17:4, the Lord said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. In 1 Kings 17:16, the barrel of the meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And this was all during 3.5 years of famine, friends. Now, in 1 Kings, verse 19, 5 through 8, an angel said unto Elijah, arise and eat, and behold, a cake baked on the coals and the cruse of water were given to him by an angel. Now, in Kings 2, chapter 4, verse 42-43, Elijah fed 100, multiplying 20 loaves and some corn. In Mark 6:34-44, Jesus fed 5,000, multiplying 5 loaves, 2 fishes, to 5,000 men besides women and children. In Matthew 14:20-21. Now in Mark 8:1-9, Jesus fed 4,000, multiplying 7 loaves. In Revelation 12:6-14, the church nourished 3.5 years in the wilderness. And also see Psalms 23:5, Luke 5:4-7, John 21:5-11. Now, God furnished water. Now, you all know that our water is polluted in the United States with all sorts of things that the government is putting in the water to poison people. And so you need to pray over your water when you drink it, just as you pray over your food. However, in Genesis 21:14-19, Hagar, dying of thirst, God showed her a well in the middle of the desert. Exodus 17:1-6, at Horeb, the Lord brought water out of a rock. In Numbers 20:2-7-11, Meribah, God again brought water from a rock. In Judges 15:15-19, God supplied water from the jawbone of an ass for Samson. In 2 Kings 3:9-17-20, God miraculously supplied water for an army. And you can see Psalm 78:15-16, 105, verse 41, Isaiah 41, 17, and 18. So God can purify impure food and water. And friends, all of our food, we don't know when we're eating GMO, which let me tell you how you can test your food. I found out. I brought a loaf of bread home, and you know, I noticed some little bites in it, but just two little bites in it. So I said to my son, I said, son, I think we got rats here. And he said, no, Mom, we don't have rats here. He said, but we've got a cat here. And so the cat had bitten through the cellophane and wouldn't eat the bread because more than likely the wheat had GMO in it. And so you got to pray over your food. And you pray over your food not just to thank God for it, but you have to pray over your food for God to make your food pure. And so in Exodus 15:23-25, bitter waters of Marah miraculously made sweet. 2 Kings 2:19-22. Undrinkable water at Jericho was healed. 2 Kings 4:38-41. Poisonous gourd in the pottage rendered harmless. And also see Mark 16 and 18. Now, God can furnish you clothing and the necessities that you need. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, he says, I have led you 40 years. Your clothes are not waxen old. Your shoes, thy shoes is not waxen old upon thy feet. Now, some of us women might not like that scripture because we like to go buy clothes and shoes. But I can tell you that one day we might not be able to have the money to go and buy shoes. Now, Matthew 6:25, 26, and 30. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, 26, and 30. The Bible gives us this promise. If God can clothe the grass, shall he not clothe you? And also see Genesis 3:21. Now, the Bible shows us that God can supply during famine. A sore famine's predicted in the last days are coming upon the earth. Matthew 24, verse 3-7. In the end of the world, there shall be famines in diverse places. Now, you might not know this, friends, but the government has been very, very busy shutting down farms in America. They shut the water down to the food basket of the world out near California, and they shut it down, and 48% of the farmers are walking the streets without farms and without jobs. The government also has forbidden, under law made by your congressmen and your Senate, as I speak to you, laws that forbid you to make a little garden on your property. And already in certain places in the United States, the police have come down, out and arrested people because they've had gardens in their yards. Also, they've forbidden for food places to serve whole milk. They arrested a man out in California that had a health food store that was selling whole milk. 6 years later, he's still fighting for his freedom. This is not the America that you used to know. So you need to prepare yourself scripturally and physically and spiritually and before things come crushing down so that you can see them. Because this thing is coming forth very rapidly. It's just flying through the Congress and the Senate, and the Christian people are sound asleep, and the churches are sound asleep, and they're still dancing and shouting and saying, Hallelujah, Jesus, and rolling on the carpets like they're demon-possessed. I've seen it. So you've got to prepare for what's happening. So the Lord promises to feed us during famines. In Job 5:19, verse 20, in famine, he, God, shall redeem thee from death. In Psalms 33:18-19, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him to keep them alive in famine. Psalms 33, verses 18 and 19, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. In Proverbs 10:3, the Lord will not suffer, that means allow, the righteous to famine. Ezekiel 36:29b and 30, I will increase the corn and lay no famine upon you, and will multiply the food of thy tree, of the field. Now, he usually warns his people so that they can make preparations. In Genesis 41:25, 36, 47, and 49, God showed Joseph and Pharaoh that a famine was coming and they needed to prepare by storing away food. In Acts 11:27-30, God warned that a death was coming, a dearth, excuse me. And believers sent relief money to their afflicted brethren. And then also see Amos 3:7. Now, the conditions for you to be under God's provisions and conditions is you've got to seek the kingdom of God, and then all things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. God gave King Solomon fabulous riches and wealth when he sought the good of the kingdom first in 2 Chronicles 1:7-12. In Psalms 34:9, there is no want, that means lack, to those that fear him. In Psalms 34:10, they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, friends, I could go on and on and on and give you examples out of the Bible concerning God supplying your needs. And you're going to have these teachings. I mean, you know, when the lack hits America, and it's coming, when they're feeding us GMO foods that kill bugs, you know, GMO is that they insert something into the seed, it's a pestilence, into the seed, and then the bugs don't eat the corn. But then when they put that corn into your food and the wheat and the soybeans into your food, and then when you eat it, just because you're bigger than an insect, eventually that's going to kill you too. It's going to have an effect on your organs. And they're already putting that in the foods in America. Now, in some European countries, their legislatures voted it down, and they're no longer able to put it in the foods over there. In California, in this last election, where they had all the machines primed so that they could get who they wanted to as president and who they wanted to into office, you see, they owned the voting machines. And so just because somebody wins doesn't mean they really won. And so In California, they had an amendment to the Constitution that they couldn't put GMO food without letting you know it was there. Do you know, according to the voting machines out there, the people were not against it? Now, you know that's a lie. And so what I'm telling you, we're not in America anymore. We're in dangerous, perilous times that Jesus warned us about were coming. And we're right there right now. And so through the foods, through the water, fluoride. You know what fluoride is? Fluoride is poison. And it comes from a byproduct of the mining fields. And so instead of figuring out how to get rid of the waste, somebody got bright enough to go to the state and city governments and say, this will help your people's teeth. You know, it's in every bit of toothpaste that you use, a mouthwash, all kinds of things. It's poison, friends. And they put it in our water here in Jacksonville and all over the country. And there's a few people that started rising up at their local governments and got it out of their water. But friends, you're probably drinking it and don't even know it. But if you put a filter between your water that comes in the house and you look at that filter coming in from the water, you'll never drink water unfiltered again. I mean, it's unbelievable what's in the water. And it's bitter and it's poisonous, just like the book of Revelation says that it's going to be. Our fish have been polluted through nuclear plants exploding in Japan and other parts of the world. Our food is polluted, friends. And you can pretend like everything is like it was when you were a child. But let me tell you what the difference is. When you were a child, your dad and your mother had something to leave to you. Our children and our grandchildren, all we have is nothing because it's been taken from us. Little here, little there, just like the gas that you see going on right now. After the vote, the gas goes back up. So just as there are provisions for your supplies, there's also provisions for your healing. And the main provision for your healing is that it was part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:23-24, Jesus went healing all A-A-L manner of sickness and disease. Matthew 9:35, he was healing every sickness and disease among the people. And they had their version of AIDS also back in those days. And he made everybody whole. He healed them all. It didn't matter what they had, Jesus was able to heal them. And friends, I can tell you that I've seen AIDS probably a half a dozen or more times be healed through our ministry, Miracle Outreach Ministry. I've seen the dead rise many times. I've gone into intensive care rooms and seen God raise people off of the deathbeds. In fact, Sabrina, didn't that happen with you one time with the woman Phyllis? She was in the cancer thing, and we went and prayed for her.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And God raised her up out of the intensive care.
Yeah.
I remember that. And so God can do anything, but he can't do anything because you block him. Because you won't study the word. You won't sit under a true Bible teacher. You won't believe what you hear. So what I'm telling you is the healing scriptures that are in the Bible, are still valid today because Jesus is alive, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And also Hebrews 3:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Matthew 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Matthew 16:17-18, he gives us the promise. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In John 4:12-14, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do. In 1 Corinthians 12:7-9b, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. James 5:14-15, if any be sick among you, let him call the elders, and let them pray. Now, the church that you go to, do you see a little bottle of oil sitting up there to anoint you? Do you ever see people come forth and ask the pastors and the elders to pray for you? Do you not realize that that is a sign that you're sitting in a dead church? That you have people claiming that they are preaching the Word of God, and yet they're not practicing what the Word of God tells them to do? Friends, we're living in a very perilous day, and you're either going to be sitting under the truth of the Word of God, or you're going to be sitting under false doctrines of devils. Because false doctrines of devils, you know, the devil comes in, and the way he operates, he mixes the Word of God with his own twisted things. And you hear the first part of it sounds like the Word of God, but then it twists and it becomes the word of the devil, because God's Word is not a mixture. And you know, another thing that I discovered over the years too, if you're not a true born-again Christian, and if you're not a true born-again Christian, what happens is when a person that is spiritual speaks, the word comes out of that person's mouth and it twists in the air, because Leviathan is a twisting spirit, one of the descriptions in Job. It comes out of the man or the woman of God's mouth. It goes into the air, and the serpent, Leviathan, twists it around, and then it goes into that person's ears. And that person that is not a believer, and that person that is pretending to be saved, but is playing church, then what happens is that person hears a different gospel. And that's why whenever the false prophets come through, they can't see that that's a false prophet. And you can tell them from now until Jesus returns, hey, you're sitting under a false prophet. Well, they can't see it because your words are becoming twisted into the air, and they hear something different. They hear perhaps a little voice saying, well, he doesn't know, or she doesn't know what she's talking about. That's not true. Or it will just simply twist the words and you will hear something entirely different. Now, let me give you an example of this. When my husband was alive, my husband never saw me preach but one time. He agreed that God had called me, and he fueled the ministry with his money. However, when he got cancer and God healed him, and he lived 18 more years after the healing, We lost a lot of our money, but he still believed that God had sent me. And I'll tell you something. If money is your God, and that is between you and God, don't be surprised if you lose it, because that was what happened to my husband. He loved money, and that was his God. And he got saved about a month before he died. But that's a long story. I don't want to go into that tonight. But God healed that man of stomach cancer. And he had gone to the doctors. They did an operation. The doctor came out of the out of his room, and they said, make him angry so that he'll fight for his life, or he won't make it. Well, you know, wives know how to make husbands angry. So I stirred him up and got him real angry, and he was fighting so he could come back to tell me off. But he survived. And the doctors told us, you've got 6 months. Go home. Get everything in order, because you're going to die. And when my husband told me that, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Pat, you pray for him, and I'll heal him. And so whenever he told me that, I went to him, and I said, Vad, the Lord told me that if you let me pray for you, he will heal you. Well, he said, well, go ahead and pray. Like, hurry up and do that and get out of the room. I've got things to do. And so I laid my hands on him, and I bound the devils of cancer that were killing him, and I released the healing power of God over him. Well, friends, my husband lived 18 more years. 18 more years. The doctors were astounded. I have his medical records, and they're 4 or 5 inches long. That big is 6 inches long. Thick. And I'm going to tell you something. He survived 18 more years. You see, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too big for our God. But the problem that we have in America is that people have been taught very carefully to doubt God. You go in many of these Baptist churches who the pastor belongs to the secret society, and he teaches you the Bible out of the Scofield Bible, for instance. And that Bible was produced by masonry. And the man that produced the Bible was an old, fallen away, alcoholic Methodist minister. And he did all of the links in that Bible that they go and look at. And so that's where all of this discrimination against women in the ministry comes from that. Do you know that the first Baptist church that a woman planted, the first Baptist church in England and the first Baptist church in America, and in the very beginning, women were allowed to come and preach and be pastors, but pretty soon they got a hold to it and made women like servants to the church instead of co-workers and warriors in the church. And you can find those things up on my website, patholiday.com, or over in miracleinternetchurch.com. I wrote a book called Can Women Preach? And that book, you can find out why I'm so bold, because I took time and I went and did research on all of this stuff. And I know that God wants me to preach, and God called me to preach, and that's exactly what I do. And he even told me years ago, probably 15, maybe 20 years ago, he said, you are going to be an end-time preacher. You were born spiritually into the Philadelphian church, which I didn't know any of this stuff, what it meant. The Philadelphian church is the church of love in the book of Revelation. And he said, and you are going to, your message is going to be to my people, your message is going to be the power of God. And that's what I preach, that's what I teach, that's what I've done, that's what I've tested over my spiritual life. And that's why I can sit here and tell you boldly, I've seen God do so many miraculous things in my short period of being a minister, which is over 35 years, but I've seen him do all of these things. And I'm going to tell you that seeing God do these things, I know that nothing is impossible for Jesus. But at the same time, I also know that God is not going to step over the will of the person. And if that person's mind has been programmed to doubt that Jesus Christ is the healer, and it's the same today, tomorrow, and forever, and that person says, well, I just don't believe it, I can't believe it, there's nobody walking around that's going to be able to put a miracle into that person's life in the name of Jesus, because they've got what they believe, and they got what they believe spiritually. But if you can believe, or if you're a Christian and you're open to receive, well, maybe my pastor's wrong about this, I'll give it a try. Some of those people get healed, some of them don't. But if you can learn those scriptures for yourself and you begin to look in and find the scriptures, and I gave a lot of them to you tonight, on supply and also on healing, and then look under miracles, you can see that all things are possible for those that believe in God. And you can begin to confess that those scriptures over your life, and you can stand on the word of God, and you can believe, yes, God can heal. So here's the thing. There was an MD that lived so many years ago, and her name was Dr. Yeomans. And Dr. Yeomans got spirit-filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and she began to pray for her patients. And so she came by the bedside of a woman that had a death curse on her, and she spoke to her, and she says, I want you to say over and over and over, by his stripes I am healed, for I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And just say that scripture and say that scripture. Well, she came back the next day. The woman was in the same shape that she was in. A couple of weeks later, she came in and she heard somebody screaming. And she started running. And out of that woman's room, the woman was running towards her screaming, Dr. Yeomans, Dr. Yeomans, by his stripes I'm healed, for I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And she said, I'm healed, I'm healed. And so you see, your belief has a lot to do with what's going on in your life. And it finally dropped from her head, that scripture dropped from her head, and it went down into her heart, and the Holy Ghost fired it up and gave her healing, and she was healed. So healing is a process, and faith is a process. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then there's another scripture that says faith without works is dead. And so you've got people sitting in churches that really believe in healing, and a few of them do get healed. But you've got the masses of Christians sitting in churches doing nothing. They come to church, they pay their tithe. While the word's going on, a lot of them are probably sitting there with, what am I going to eat? My husband wanted a stew. I hope he gets through preaching so that it doesn't burn. All of these things going on in their minds, they haven't heard the sermon. And if you came out of the church and you said, if you said to them, what was the sermon about? They would say to you, I don't know. Because they sat there and they've heard nothing. And so you see, the thing about it is, you have to know what the word says, and you have to, it has to come down in your heart so that you believe it. Now, I see there's a discussion going on the chat room, and the discussion is about the Bible and the fake Bibles. But guys, you know, I really highly regard the people that are discussing this and your knowledge. But you know, while teaching is going on, if you're up there discussing another subject, the people are not listening to what we're trying to get in their hearts tonight. And so, you know, there's a time to post links and there's a time to just listen to what God's saying, because these are things that are not being preached in the churches today. And these are things that we are going to have to know whenever the crash of the money comes in America. And some of them are saying it's coming by April. Others are not sure, but for sure, the bankers are working for a quick crash, because many people in America are waking up as I speak to you. So I'm just going to ask you to respect the teacher, who's me, for just a little bit, and then you can post whatever you want to. Yes, you know, Dutch, Franz, you write like I do, and like I'm talking to you, but at the same time I'm doing other things. I'm what do they call that?
Multitasking
all the time, and I'm used to doing that. But people that we are talking to are people that have sat in some of these dead churches, and they haven't heard the truth in 15 years or more. And some of them are very sick, and some of them are very biblically immature. And so that's what we're doing up at Blog Talk. And you see, you and Brother Tom and Brother Bill and a few others that come up here, you're able to post things that you know, but post them after the teaching is what I'm saying. Like if somebody's up there and they're getting delivered, post what you know about those things and encourage the people up on the chat room, because that makes you a worker in the kingdom of God, and you're working so people can get it too. And so that's, I'm not chastising you. I'm just trying to explain to you that we are up here for a purpose. And, of course, Front says, you're right. I'm listening, commenting, because you were talking about the Word of God. And so it's so important. And I agree 100%. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to change for just a moment and read a few of your comments, because of the fact your comments are important. And, you know, the people have been taught under these Illuminati Bibles, and that's what they've been talking about. I'm going to read a few of them up over the air. so that the people that are not on the chat room can hear. The Illuminatist bought all of the Christian outlets, like Word of Faith, the Zondervan Publishing House, many of them. Warner even has a Christian publishing house. Warner Brothers, who at the same time they publish the Satanic Bible, they're publishing these new perverted versions of the Bible. And so what they were saying was that now don't stop popping questions yet to me, because I've got to answer the ones that I've got my mind on right now, okay? I'll try to answer them if I can. Now, Franz, from we call him Dutch sometimes, but he's the lion, the Dutch lion of the Netherlands. And he's very well known throughout his country and even throughout the world because of his publications and his books and his very, very intellectual man. So he says, I recommend Gail Riplinger, and I'll spell that for you guys that are listening. It's R-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R, and she wrote a book called The New Age Bible Versions. Now, you can go up on your search organs on the internet and type her name in, or just type the name of the book in, and you'll get the references. And it's New Age Bible Versions. Now, I'm not going to say the long, the names of the websites, because they won't be able to remember that anyway. But you also, her websites are also very, very interesting. Franz.
They can get it from Texie Mars, too.
And you can get it from Texie Mars site, too. And that would be texiemars.org, on remnantradio.org. And then, I believe it's 007, that spiritual 007, JJB, he writes, I've read a book by Dr. Yeomans. And then Dutch post, excuse me for coughing in your face, but see, I'm having to multitask, and I'm not the smartest when I'm on machines. He reads, why don't you come over and read it to him? I'll show you. And then I can manipulate the machine. But you have to look. You have to look. Franz wrote.
Oh, I just moved.
Oh, I moved it. Well, you moved it. I don't know if this is going to work or not, guys.
I can't touch the screen. I'm manipulating the screen.
It's all there. That's the new NIV. The new NIV.
New NIV, NIV, New King James, New American Standard Bible. I don't know what that other thing is.
That's the American Standard.
I got that one. What's that one?
Yeah, that's the newest one that they put out.
What's that one?
That's what that is.
No, it's two things there. It's the HCSB and the ESV, whatever they are.
Yeah, well, they're some of their newest perverse Bibles that they put out.
I'm still using a King James.
Then Franz writes this.
Exposed our Strong's Concordance lexicons. Bible Dictionaries by Vine.
That's Zadahites.
Greek and Hebrew text by, oops, the screen moves.
Zuda, he's a radio person. He's not so important. He's limited, but go ahead.
Greek and Hebrew text by Metzger, Alan, Scrivener, Barry, Ginsburg, Green, Robinson, Hodges, and the screen moved, and all Greek and Hebrew study tools and interlinear.
Okay. And so then, let me see. We can't read that long enough.
No.
Dutch says, or Ron says,
the worldly publishers bought Christian publishing houses because they saw that the money was to be made. Yeah, that's Times did that too. Another book by Gail Ripplinger is In All of Thy Word.
Also, they bought them so they could infiltrate.
Yes. Now, some of you have no idea who Gail Ripplinger is. Let me see if I can remember a few things about her. I know that she was a professor at Ohio State University, and she's a linguist. Her profession is in dealing with words and their derivations, their meanings, their origins, their true meanings. And she began when she was ministering to some of her students about the Bible. And she noticed that the ones that were using the King James understood and were more deeply rooted in their faith, more so than those that were using other Bible versions, and that's what started her on this quest to understand about the different Bible versions versus the King James Version. A lot of these they are writing now are not based on the Septuagint, which is the text that the King James was taken from. They have found other texts that they are taking them from, other than the Septuagint. So they come up with all these different meanings. That is not what God said. But if you remember in the Bible, God has said not to add to nor to take away from his word. And there is a curse that comes upon you when you do such things. So it behooves us all, if we really want to understand. I remember one time, long time ago, I was trying to minister to this young lady that Dr. Pat knows, and she'd been in several car accidents, and she had had several brain injuries. And I was explaining to her that if she would just read the King James Version to herself out loud, her brain and her mind would automatically heal. And to tell you the truth, it didn't have anything to do with whether or not she was a Christian or a heathen. The fact is, the very power of God is in his word. And so I tried to admonish her to do that. I don't think she ever did. But I already knew that it worked, that when you read the word aloud to yourself, it goes into your spirit, and you begin to change
your
mind. And your body begins to come subject to what's in your spirit, to what you put in, because there's power in the word of God. So it behooves us all to use the version that's going to bring us the results that we desire. And that's why this ministry supports the King James Version.
Yeah, that's why we do, because of the fact that the King James Version's been around for centuries now, and it works. It's powerful. It may have some errors in it coming from men that were back in those days interpreting it. But here's what you have to think about when you think about Bibles and study. Back in those early days, when the Bible was being translated, people were not as immoral as they are today. And there were standards that were set into the church back in those days. And so when you read the translations of these new people, they're putting what they believe in those translations.
And I can't pull her name out right now, but you'll read it on Gail Ripplinger's Ripplinger. You'll read it on her website. There was a Catholic nun that was the translation for Hebrew, and she was also a lesbian. And so the NIV Bible became known as the Homosexual Bible because it was friendly to homosexuality. And she would, I remember seeing her on the talk shows back in those days, and she would get up there and say, yes, I'm a Catholic nun, and I'm a lesbian, and you know, that sort of thing. And so that's why you have to, sometimes you have to trust the elders. And I'm not talking about modern churches with the elders in them. I'm talking about bodies of written information. And after all, you know, there have been many, many scholars in the Christian church, many scholars, to write about things that you and I have never even read. So we need to be very prayerful about where you go. The New King James Version. The New King James Version is, I believe it was either Nelson or Zondervan printed it. I think it was Zondervan from memory. But I was in Washington, D.C. when that came out, and they had bought Zondervan and Nelson, and the Word, remember there was a publishing house called Word Publishers, and they were buying them all up back then. And the publishing house brought those Bibles to the conference, and a lot of pastors and writers from all over the country were there. And they brought them in, and they gave them away free. And on the cover, they had 666 on it. And Constance Cumby, who wrote The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, she was the first one to expose that the end time scriptures were coming through and true through the UN. It's a must read for everyone that's interested in how this all came about. She was a lawyer. And so what happened was that she went around to every pastor, every leader, and showed them the 666 on the cover, and she warned them. Well, they took them home, and they started telling their, here's what they told. They said the only thing that's been changed in that Bible is we took the these and the thous out. Actually, they took the deity of Jesus out. They took the blood of Jesus and piles of other scriptures that teach our faith. And so it's a perverted Bible or parallel Bible. And I would advise you, if you have a New King James Version, throw it away, burn it, and get you, if you can find one, a King James Version of the Bible. Sometimes you can find them in secondhand stores. Sometimes you can find them in just little tiny bookstores, but they're hard to find because bookstores have been bought up by the Illuminati too. So you're going to have to look for one. And let's see. They have the satanic symbols on them. Openly, because you see, Christians are the dumbest people in the world when it comes to politics. They know nothing. And if you try to tell them something, what's going to happen is they're going to say, you're touching one of God's anointing, and I'm not going to listen to you. Or George Bush is born again. Shame on you. Jimmy Carter's born again. I'm going to tell the elders of my church that you said that. and things like that you cannot get through because they've been mind bound by the pastors with their programs of doing that. You know, there are pastors through the purpose-driven churches that are trained to put you in trances, mass trances. And you find it in many of the big churches, by the way, because they're trained. They go away to these training sessions. They lay hands and swap demons together. And they come back and they teach you mind control as they were taught in those conferences. And I'm telling you that Rick Warren is a New World Order guy. He's a government guy, and so are some of these other false ministers that are huge. And when you go up underneath their ministries, their demons are coming out, and they're going to get in your mind, either through the atmosphere or through the laying on of hands.
Don't touch me.
Okay, because we're living in perilous times, and there are times whenever Jesus is getting ready to return. Is it that? Okay. Doctor. Okay, the co-host Sabrina.
Yeah, I was just.
We'll say it to the people that are not up here.
Oh, all right. I put it in the chat room. We found out over the years doing deliverance that people that have difficulty understanding and receiving the King James Version, if you have really, really, really hard, you need some deliverance.
Yeah.
And you need to call up for some deliverance tonight. That's been our findings. That if you have a really, really hard time, you just can't make head or tails of the King James Version at all, you need deliverance, okay? So call up tonight.
And let me say that, you know, the churches depended on the King James Version for several centuries. And America used to be a very moral nation. I remember that when you got a job, you couldn't just go on the job and let your filthy mouth fly out. You had to watch your language because there were Christians working right next to you, and they would be offended, and they would correct you. Because I know when I went to work, I had a foul mouth. That was many years ago, and I would just let it fly. And I remember Christians saying, "We don't appreciate you talking like that, and don't do that here," and stuff like that. Now you go and everybody's cussing. Everybody's wearing mini skirts. Everybody's wearing bikinis on the beach. I told you once that me and my sisters were known as the Gabor sisters in Jacksonville many years ago. And it was because we were, you know, nice looking women. And so when we saw the bikinis out on the Riviera in magazines, we just went and made our own. So we went down to the beach one year, and we all put our bikinis on and rode on a float, and we were the talk of the town and the newspapers, and I think we had one television program station in town at that time, and they were all out there just eating that up. But the point is I was not born again when I did that. And pretty soon, the beach just filled up with bikinis. That's the way the devil gets his programs through, is through these talk shows, these sci-fi movies, which fill your minds with subliminals. You don't know what you're seeing when you watch them. Through kiddie Disney World movies, through all kinds of things that you've opened up to. And see, just about everybody in our nation has been under mind control, whether you realize it or not. If you've gone to a movie, if you go to Disney World, if you go to some of these churches that are programming your mind, let me tell you something. You need deliverance. And there's so many people that need deliverance that won't humble themselves before the throne of God and come up. I have people coming up on my email and on Facebook all the time, and they say, Dr. Holliday, I need deliverance. Can I call you? Well, you see, let me tell you something. I work 24 hours a day. I sleep several hours, wake up and work. You can ask the people up on Facebook. They can't understand when I sleep. And the people that I send my newsletters out and all of that, I work. I work constantly for the Lord. And so I don't have time to personally talk to every single person that needs deliverance. And this is why we started the web page, and we started Blog Talk, is so that we could get to people and deliver them en masse. And this is why we started the conferences, and Dr. Sabrina might type that in again. The conferences is so that you have a place where you can come and get deliverance, because of the fact there's not any, hardly any deliverance ministries in Jacksonville. And so the point, I mean, in the world, really, and you find them in the foreign countries, but you can hardly find any over here. And so we have the conferences so that you can come to Jacksonville. We teach on deliverance, do mass deliverance. And then if you need to be delivered one-on-one, we do that here also. And I'm only one person, and I do what I can do. And so that's what I'm saying. But I've had people to come up, and they'll say, well, you know, I beat my wife up last week, and I need deliverance. Well, I say, well, come up on Blog Talk. They get mad at me, or they get prideful, and they won't come up for deliverance because they want deliverance their way and not the way God has laid it out for them. And I'm going to tell you something, a secret about deliverance. Whenever a person needs deliverance, the deliverance minister never, ever, ever, ever gets in agreement with the person that's come for deliverance, because that's the demon. And you get into agreement with the demon talking to you, you lose control and power over the deliverance. That's just a little secret. Now, great is the Lord, or whatever.
God is great.
God is greater. She reminded us that the guardian over in, it's called guardian.co.uk, over in England. I'm not going to read the whole thing. They won't remember it. The princes, they just put out a Bible for Princess Diana that is known as the Gay Bible. How about that? You know, you might not realize it, but the Archbishop of England has joined the Catholic Church, and not only that, but he has confessed that he is a living Druid, too. Druid.
Oh.
And he is the Queen's minister in England. So you see, the whole world is running after the Antichrist system and the powers of the devil. It's Christians that we're having problems together. Like tonight, as long as we've been on this web page preaching the way we're preaching, we should have hundreds of people on the chat room, hundreds of people on this chat room. You know, there's I'm not going to name the name, but there's a link, a man that calls up a guy who's not right in the spirit. And when the guy comes up, his chat room fills up to 500 people immediately. And the guy that comes up on his line is a guy that preaches about the cosmic Jesus that you hear me talking about. And he came up a half a dozen times, and then they had to get additional chat rooms to handle the traffic. Now, that's the difference in somebody preaching the error and somebody preaching truth, because the devil has his hands over people's ears, and he has his hands over their lives, and he's about got the whole world as I speak to you tonight. There's just a few of us left, and that's why I'm telling you, you become evangelistic like Teach did last week when she called her neighbor or her friend, and she said, I'll get them to pray for you. Then what you need to do is you need to call somebody that you know that's sick while the show's on and all the shows that come on. And what you need to do is say, listen, that the whole people from all around the world will be praying for you if you call in. Or let me call in. I'll call in and have them pray for you. And believe you, we can hear that person as good as we hear the person on the line. It was important for us all to know that, because if you know somebody's sick and God puts them on your heart, just call them and say, look, they're up on the air. Let's call in and I'll get them to pray for you. And if you got the three-way phones, you can do that. Don't ask me how, because I don't even know how to do that. But now the conference is coming up again. And the conference is going to be Mass Deliverance Conference Live. And Dr. Pat Holliday, Pastor Dennis Williams, Dr. Sabrina, Brother Bill will all be at the conference, and it will be February 16, 17, 2013, Saturday and Sunday. The meetings will start on Saturday morning, and they will go throughout Saturday. At 10:30, Mass Deliverance will happen. And then in the morning, on Sunday morning, will be a 12:30 p.m. service. We're teaching healing, miracles, and deliverance. And let me tell you, you can check in your room at Best Western Hotel, and that's at JTB South Point, Salisbury and Butler Boulevard. And when you call in to Best Western, They'll give you a discount on your rooms, and the toll free number is 1-800-842-1348.
Is that the toll free number?
That's the toll free 1-800, Sabrina. And then they've got I've got 842-1348. And then the fax number is 904-281-0417. And you can get double room and bring people down with you. And we had a call last time we were on the air, and Cricket said that she just came down for her family reunion here in Jacksonville at that hotel. And when you do things like that, be sure to tell the front desk, I go to the conferences, and that helps us to get the rooms real cheap. And also, she said that her family met over there at the hotel. at their conference, they've got a cafe that we used to meet in there that's very reasonable, where you can have food served in there and all kinds of things. It's just a good little hotel. It's comfortable. So we're inviting you to come for the spiritual things, because it's important that we get free so that we can get people that we know free. Amen. Cricket's up on the air now, up on the chat room. Hi, Cricket. I was just talking about you, and I didn't even see you listening up there. Praise God for that. And so we recommend that you start saving money right now for your, if you're going to fly in, you need to make your reservations. The earlier you make your reservations, the cheaper they are, I understand. And some of you are close enough that you can come in and you can bring a carload of people. Or you can bring a carload of people, or you can come yourself and drive. We had people from Alabama, Texas, New York, Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina, New Jersey, from several different foreign countries, from all around and about. And so we're happy that God gave us this opportunity to minister around the world, because that's exactly what we do. And by the way, I looked at Blog Talk numbers before I came up on the air, and we've got more than 68,000 hits as I speak to you today. And we got that because you're talking and you're telling people to come up. We love you so much, but you know, I put the phone number up, and we want you to come up not only, you know, for healing, although today, with all the word that I packed down into you, you ought to be up in your faith for healing. But when you call in, be sure to dial number one or we don't answer the phone. Amen. And so if you dial one, it shows your hand up on the board so that I can see you that you want to talk. If you're not going to talk, don't dial one, and then I'll leave you alone. Amen. So the number is 805-292-0300. And so we invite you to call in. We'll pray for you. We'll talk to you. You can talk to us. If you want to call in and ask questions, call in and ask questions. And we'll see what the Lord will do, because I'm excited about Blog Talk Radio. And by the way, Saturday night, tomorrow night, I'm going to be on Daniel Ott. It's called the Edge broadcaster, or the Edge radio. I don't have the link. I'll go try to find it when Sabrina's got a hold to the mic next time. But it's going to start at 8 o'clock, or maybe I tell you who can do this. God is greater can get that link for me and post it. It's Daniel Ott, called TheEdgeBroadcast.com. This is interesting because Daniel's program, the way he works his program, he speaks to a believer, and then he has an unbeliever. And I listened to his show the other night, and when the unbeliever is up there, he's very bold to come up. Like, this guy was a UFO type of a nut, and he came up and he said, "Well, who do you pray for?" And then the guy didn't know what to do because he hadn't thought about that. And then the other thing, at one point he said, well, what do you think that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father by me? The guy couldn't answer the question. He'd never thought about that. So it's an interesting, he interviews all kinds of people. Now, Daniel Ott is on EBI, which is the same network that Rush Limbaugh is on. It's big. It's all over New York City and all over the United States and the world. And so millions of people tune in. And so I need you to be praying for me, because I wrote him an email and I said, now, Daniel, don't be too hard on me. Remember, I'm a woman. And he wrote me back and he said, I won't be. I love you, Dr. Pat. And I wrote him back and I said, yeah, I'm a woman, but I'm not an average woman or normal. I said, I cast devils out. So, but it's going to be a very interesting program. And it's my first time up there. And I think it'll be the first of many because, you know, I talk on our side, on believer's side, the things that the unbelievers are up there promoting. So you just be praying for me Saturday night. Thank you, Jeremy. Jesus, my rock, he's going to pray. Thank you. Glory to God. And everybody that's going to pray for Saturday night, I want you to put your hands up, wave your hands on the chat room. Yes, I hear that it's a mixture. We've got one here in Jacksonville. They haven't been here long enough for me to publicly talk about them, but I've gotten somebody through the ministry that says it's a mixture. So a lot of times when people come from Africa, you really have to check their credentials out very carefully and their ministry. Amen. Okay, Cricket's praying for me. And so Sabrina's going to come up as you put your hands up in agreement. And she's going to pray for me Saturday on that program, Sabrina. And so y'all, they're all putting their hands up. And so Sabrina, you'll come up and pray. And she's going to pray now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your blessings and the opportunities that you have given this ministry to minister to people all over the world. We thank you for this particular opportunity, Lord, that the truth of your word may be heard in a place where secular people listen, where backsliders listen, where Christians will be listening and praying in support. But Lord, we ask you to touch their heart. We ask that this broadcast be an opportunity for a change in the hearts of men, Father. We ask, Father, that this ministry opportunity be a chance for people's ears to hear and for their minds to receive the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, that every question that will be asked, you have already touched it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And it will be asked so that the words that you want to come forth will come forth, Father, and the truth that you want to be revealed will be revealed. We place this entire broadcast, Father, into your hands. And we take authority and dominion from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over every entity that would attempt to hinder, thwart, or in any way interfere with the word of God coming forth in truth and power and anointing in Jesus' name. We thank you for the warring angels, Father, that have already gone forth to war on behalf of this particular ministry and the words we'll be doing in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against Pastor Pat will be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises against it in against her in judgment will be shown to be in the wrong. We thank you that this is the heritage of the saints, and your favor surrounds us as a shield. I thank you, Father, that this particular opportunity in ministry will avail us to touch those, Father, who are unchurched, but who desire a touch from God. We thank you, Father, that there are many that are hospitalized and in hospice situations and in nursing homes that will listen to the broadcast, Father, but can't come out to a church. They will learn of this ministry, Father, and they'll learn of the mighty works that you are doing here. We thank you and we give you praise for touching them and giving them an opportunity to be set free no matter what their situation is, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that the Spirit of the living God will be upon Pastor Pat in power, that the word will go forth mightily, that the demons that are in the persons that will be the commentator and the other person are bound in Jesus' name. We bind the devils that operate freely through their minds and through their mouths. We bind them, cage them, muzzle them in Jesus' name. And we send them to the feet of Jesus, if the person is a Christian, that they might be judged before their time and bound until you release them otherwise. We thank you, Father, for the grace that you will pour out on this program. We thank you, Father, for calling in Christians, true Christians, persons that are believers in Jesus Christ and filled with his Spirit, all over the world, Lord, to tune in and pray as the program goes forth and to intercede and to be watchmen on the walls in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for a clear and distinct word, that this word will come forth as a calling to your people to come out from among them and be separate, just as you have said. We thank you, Father, for the offerings. We do not charge people to come to conferences. Someone said the conferences are free, but we don't charge people to come. They are not free. We have to pay for what happens, Father. We have to reserve the room. We have to do other things to prepare. They are not free. Somebody has to pay for it, and that somebody is Dr. Pat Holliday. But we do not charge people to come to church. You say freely we have received, freely give, and we obey your word, Father. But we do request offerings, Father, just as the Bible says that we should, and just as people should give, Father, in Jesus' name. For the workman is worthy of his hire, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that people will trust you, that they will trust you. They will simply trust you and operate in faith. And just as they do at any other worship service at any other time, that they will give freely, just as you have given to them. Pastor Pat and the team have worked diligently, Lord, to send forth your word across the airwaves that people might be set free and people might have an opportunity to know the truth and to come to the truth, Father, in Jesus' name. So therefore, Father, we expect an abundant harvest. We expect an accelerated favor, Father, in Jesus' name, that the people of God will give freely and without reservation. And out of their love for you and their gratitude for what you have done in their lives through this ministry, Father, in Jesus' name. We call them, Father, from the north, east, south, and west, even from the other side of the world. And we thank you for their benevolence, for their kindness, for their tender mercies, Father, for their obedience to your scriptures and to your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that as you touch their hearts to come, that you will release upon them a grace for travel, Father, in Jesus' name, that they will not find hindrances, but they will be able, Lord, to, if necessary, get off from their jobs, if necessary, fly, if necessary, drive. By whatever means you send them, Father, that you will gather your people together for an outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you for the work that you will do. We thank you for the workers that you set in the field. We thank you for those that are coming to participate and coming to bless the ministry with their presence, their contributions, and their love, Father, in Jesus' name. We lift all the persons that have supported this ministry up until this time, Father, and we thank you for their blessings, their financial blessings that they have sent, Father. We labor in the Spirit, Father, but we also need to receive finances in the natural to continue. We bless all those persons whose hands have been put to the plow by supporting us financially and supporting us through Blog Talk Radio, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that your abundance will flow into their lives and into their pocketbooks in Jesus' name, because they have obeyed you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We bind Baal, we bind Beelzebub, we bind the Lord of the Flies in Jesus' name. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we forbid them to have anything to do with the broadcast on Saturday, Father, in Jesus' name. We cut off all the communications between the demons that have been sent to sabotage the program in Jesus' name. We bind your sabotaging efforts, and we send those things back against you, 1 billion-fold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that there will be no problem in the electronics or in the media workings, Father, so that the broadcast will be clear, it will be distinct, it'll be just as nice as to hear the ring in a fine china glass, Father, in Waterford crystal. We thank you, Lord, that this is your will and that your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name, and we say amen.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Sabrina. I have a question up there on the chat room. The question is, the letter J has not always been around, so how exactly did the letter J get into the Bibles? Well, you see, that usually comes from the Messianic Jewish movements. They say that there's no letter J in their Hebrew languages. But you see, the New Testament was not written in Hebrew at all. It was written in the language of the day, which was Greek. Now, a lot of people may be shocked to know that that the language that Jesus spoke was Aramaic. He didn't talk in Hebrew. They all talked in Aramaic. That was the language of the day in Jerusalem. So whenever they went out into the world and started giving the Bible out to the Gentiles, They wrote the Bible in Greek because that was the language of the day. Now, it's like in America, our language is English. If I tried to talk to you tonight in Hebrew, none of the Americans would understand me. So God opened the door to the Gentiles. And you see it happening over in the book of Acts. You can see also that the book of Acts tells us that they knocked on every door in Jerusalem and told the disciples did, and told them about Jesus had come. And they got under persecution, and God dispersed them into the world, and God opened up the door at that time for the Gentiles to come in, which began what we call the Age of the Gentiles. Now, the Age of the Gentiles has been going on now for a little over 2,000 years, and the Bible explains in the book of Revelation and Daniel that the age of the Gentiles will come to a close, and God will open up the door again, calling the Jewish people into the kingdom. Now, we have seen a few of them come in, started coming in back in the 80s. Some of them came in. Some of them came in and went off into some kind of another gospel. But the truth is God has a heart for his people. Now, somebody asked about the Aramaic name is Jesus. No, the Greek name is Jesus, because the Bible was written in Greek. It's in the New Testament. I might not pronounce it right, but I believe it is I-E-O S-U-S, and that might even not be the proper spelling, but the name Jesus was given to Jesus in the New Testament by God to Joseph and Mary supernaturally. And so I would say his name's Jesus, or Asuas. But now, how did it become Jesus? Well, you know, the Catholic Church fought, Protestants gave their lives for the sake of the Bible, of printing the Bible and using the Bible. And so the translations of the Bible were being translated into English because Europe, Britain, England, the people were from that place and they speak English. And so Asuas, and that might not be proper because I'm not a Greek scholar, but it means they interpreted it out of the Greek with the J. And if you look into the New Testament, you will see when they talk about Joshua, they use the J, Joshua. And Jehovah, they use the J. And so J came into the Bible through the translation of the Bible. Now, let me tell you what they say. They say that, I'm talking about the Messianic Jews and the radical Jewish, Messianic Jewish roots movement, which is cultic. What they say is that the Messianic Jews say that Jesus means Zeus, and that Zeus is a Roman god. And Zeus is a Roman god, and he is the god that is ruling over the New World Order today. He's that three-story foot statue in the United Nations building that is it welcomes everybody when they come into the United Nations. And Zeus does not mean Jesus. Amen? And so all of them spoke Aramaic. All of them spoke Aramaic, Jesus' disciples. And so what happened, too, is in the Bible, we see that in the New Testament, Paul and Jesus were both rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees all the time because of the fact that they were teaching the Kabbalah and the Jewish oral law, which are the writings of the rabbis. And so Jesus came to reinstitute the Word of God in Jerusalem. And so Paul, when he became born again, was a scholar. The Bible said he was very, very educated. And so he was interpreting a lot of his messages. Paul was deciphering what did the Old Testament say according to how it unfolds into the New Testament. And both of them were constantly rebuking the Judaizers. But the modern people are not taught, and they don't understand that what is even going on in the New Testament concerning these rebukes, you see. Paul, that's where they get, don't let women preach. Well, preach means prophesy, coming out of the Greek. And there is no Old Testament scriptures that God says, don't let women preach or prophesy. There's no Old Testament scriptures that says women have to have their heads covered. But there are things in the Kabbalah and in the laws that the rabbis wrote. And so he was answering the letters to those churches that the truth of it is that women don't have to wear hats on their heads. And when you read the scripture very carefully and you have an understanding of it, then you can see that that's not what the word teaches, that women have to have hats on their heads. That's what the Catholic Church taught. That's what a lot of the people in Protestant churches, like the Episcopals and some of the Church of England people, know. You have to read the Bible, but you have to ask God for understanding of the Bible. And don't just believe everyone that says, I'm a Hebrew Jew, I was raised Hebrew, and I know more than Christians. They don't. They don't know more. They were blinded. And according to the Bible, now I want you to listen to this. They were blinded. And they were blinded because the Bible says so. In the Bible, it says God put a veil over their eyes concerning spiritual things. I don't know exactly where that scripture is, but perhaps Sabrina can find it. But he put a veil over the Jewish people's eyes, and they have remained blinded to this day. And the few that have come and became born-again Christians, God opened their eyes to see the New Testament and what Jesus did. And like I said, many of them saw Easter, Halloween, and Christmas being celebrated in the Christian churches, and they saw that being celebrated, and so they turned back to Judaism because they thought Christianity was a fake and false, because the Jews did not celebrate those pagan holidays. And the church got it from the Catholic Church, and the Protestant Church just picked up on those things. And so it's done a lot of damage to the kingdom of God with Christians celebrating those pagan holidays, and particularly done grave damage to Jews coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did that make sense to you guys? I've got articles on that, I believe, up on remnantradio.com, .org, if you will, if you'll type that in up there. And here's the scripture where, and I think there's some over in Matthew too, but the Bill pulled it up, 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The veil is done away in Christ. So when they become believers, God lifts the veil and they can have an understanding of who Jesus is and his word. And so it's very important if you're going to teach, you know, that you know a few things. I don't know everything. I don't proclaim to know everything. But bless God, he has shown me a few things. And together, me and Sabrina and Bill, we make one brain. And then, and Alice. Between the four of us, we got a brain, right?
Yeah, and Marshall comes off to help the brain function.
There you go. So there you got a picture of who you're listening to. But Jesus is Lord over that brain. Okay, I'm going to take a call. Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Pat, Dr. Sabrina.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm blessed to listen to your program, that's for sure, tonight. Wednesday, I listened to the program. In the middle of the night, I recast it because I was, you know, praying and wanting to get free and was in a lot of pain. And so finally, 5 a.m. in the morning, I recast your program from Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was good. So, but I'm trying to get down to see you guys for the conference.
Oh, we'd love to see you.
Yeah.
But you
I'd love to meet y'all too.
That Friday program, everybody should recast that because we did the teaching and then we locked in within the teaching deliverance, mass deliverance.
Yeah, it was good.
When we start doing that, if you start coughing and binding, you'll get more freedom. That was
good. I did get some freedom. I didn't get completely free. I didn't actually get to sleep that night, but, you know, about 75% of it left, you know, so sometimes it completely leaves. And then sometimes, like you said, you know, on one of your programs, it's not that it comes back, but it's that it sends reinforcements.
Yeah, but you see, you handle the reinforcements just exactly like you did the first ones. Now, since you brought that up, Nicole, let me say, because a lot of people have this same problem.
I know.
Let me say that whenever we cage a demon and we command that demon to go into the cage, it goes obediently into the cage because Jesus himself is standing right in front of that person doing deliverance over that person. We're just saying what the word says. But the Bible, he is the deliverer. And so whenever you bind the demon, if it's inside of you, we do self-deliverance all the time. But if it's in you and you bind it and you cough it out and cage it, you send it to the feet of Jesus. And what happens when that demon goes to the feet of Jesus in the cage? Jesus judges that spirit before its time, because it touched a Christian, and he cast it down into the pit to its judgment. Now, remember where Jesus said, where the Spirit said, "Are you going to torment us before our time?"
Mm-hmm.
See, know that Jesus has the power to torment them. So what you're doing is you're tormenting that devil before their time, and you are judging angels. Remember where it says you shall judge angels? Well, demons are fallen devils, and you're judging angels before their time, and Jesus is judging them before their time. And so they're gone. They can't get out of hell. They're locked into hell because he's judged them. So then what happens is that...
I have a question about that before you go on, though, because he cast the demon out, but he didn't judge it, did he?
No, he didn't, because he hadn't died yet.
Right.
But the demons knew that he could.
Right. So how can we do it when Jesus never did it in his ministry?
Because he died on the cross and shed his blood. And we can do what Jesus could do. And the demons said, "Are you going to torment us before our time?" That means the demons know that Jesus could judge them before their time.
Oh, okay. Right, I get it now. Okay.
That Jesus, listen to me, that means that Jesus didn't judge them before their time because Jesus was teaching us things, and he was teaching us how they have to be in obedience when we speak to them in his name. And they said, don't let us go. Don't let us go in.
Send us out of the territory, out of the region.
Don't send us out of the region. And then they said, send us in the pigs. Well, you see, Jesus sent them into the pigs and did what they asked him to do. And it was for the purpose of teaching us, his followers, that demons have to bow their knee at his word, okay? And so when he said, okay, go into the pigs, the other thing that Jesus was teaching us, remember the man was bashing his head up against the wall and the demon trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But the will had kept him alive. But when Jesus sent him into the pigs have no will. So they were driven violently down the cliff into the river, and the pigs died. The demons were still alive. They're still alive. And so, but Jesus wanted us to know that the demons have to obey his word. And he chose not to to judge the demons at that time. But the fact that he could have judged them means that we can judge them before
okay.
their time. And we can't judge them and send them to hell. We have no power to do that. I
no.
know a lot of deliverance ministry says, go to Tarsus, which is an occult expression in Greek, to the hell of Greek of the occultists. And they'll say, go to Tartus, because Win Worley taught that, which mm-hmm. I don't think Worley was right in any way that he taught anyway. But they'll just imitate his ministry, and they'll say, I'm going to send you to Tarsus. And the demons will say, oh, no, don't send us to Tartus. I don't want to go there. And they're laughing at the deliverance minister because he's sending them back into the occult where they came from. You see? So that they
yeah.
can get a client or come back to the one that they were in. And
right.
so you got to know the word. And just because you hear some teacher teaching something that they don't know, and Win Worley did not know what he was doing, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt. In fact, there's an article up on my webpage, I think, I'm not up on the chat room, get that article, you don't have to get the article, but get remnant.org back up there, and you can find that article where I did an article on Win Worley up there.
Okay.
And you can find it, but you see, the thing is that's why we're so careful to stick with the word, because whenever a person is being delivered on the radio, and it might be an interest to you to know that the first time demons were cast out over the radio, I did it on Omega Man before he
wow.
got before he went with the Baptist. But
okay.
And you can find those up on remnantradio.org.
Mm-hmm. I don't follow that program.
No, you can find them up on the ones I did with him
yeah.
before he got corrupted with the Baptist.
Yeah.
Or remnantradio.org too.
I went up there once and I didn't really agree with what was going on, so I left and didn't go back.
On Omega Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you is
mm-hmm.
I and Omega Man started a radio program together.
Oh, together. Okay.
And, so the ones that we did together while he was still under the word.
Oh, I see.
Up remnant.org. And the ones that he went with the Baptist with, I disconnected myself from.
Happened. I get it.
Yeah. And so, but the point being is Jesus stands in front of the person, and when you cast the demons out, Jesus and his angels are standing in front of the person, and the devils have to obey your word because you're speaking the word.
So when does the devil stop sending reinforcements? Because, you know, sometimes I get complete deliverance, and then the very next day, you know, I'll be fine when I wake up, and then during the day or maybe at night or whatever, within 24 hours, he sends the same type of demon back. It's the only one type of demon that still comes at me.
Well,
and
he comes up, he comes back because you think that
mm-hmm.
he's so powerful that he can come back and you have to fight him. See, you get what you believe in Christianity.
Right.
But if you believe that you have the authority to make him leave. And I'm telling you the reasons today why he has to leave.
Amen.
He has to leave no matter whether he's a reinforcement or the original demons. He has to obey what you tell him to do because Jesus is standing in front of you. And Jesus is the deliverer. That's the word. So Jesus is standing in front of you. And to the level of your faith is the demon's going to harass and fight. So if you don't have your faith, like when Sabrina and I, we get off the air, we don't have a whole bunch of demons coming at us from
right.
our world. Yet,
yep.
yet the covens all over the world are working against us.
They're praying against you, yeah.
See, we know that our authority in Jesus. And so once you send them back to the sender, like if that's a devil that's being worked by a warlock or a witch,
mm-hmm.
caged it, it goes to the feet of Jesus. But the witch or the warlock is still operating against you. He's still sending demons to you. That's another thing. And so the demon comes, and instead of you sending it back sevenfold, you're caging it and sending it to the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, if you will listen to that program.
Yeah, I did. I've returned it back to sender several times, like you told me to do. So, but then I also was starting to just cage them and send them to the feet of Jesus again, too. Because I was like...
The way you pray,
yeah.
you say, Lord Jesus, if there's any witches or warlocks working powers against me, I command them to go back to the sender. And
every time. I'll remember to do that every time from now on.
Do it before you start caging. And
yeah.
what happens is those demons go back sevenfold. And that witch knows who did it.
Is the Lord telling you right now, Pat, if it's like a witch or warlock that's actually doing that against me? Or is he saying anything?
Well, here's the thing. See,
okay.
you handle that differently than demons that are just coming to you. Or
right.
demons that you got through sin. Or demons
yep.
that you got through your ancestral lines. You handle people that are... sending you stuff, sending back sevenfold. Now, what if a Christian is praying against you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you handle that differently. What you do is you say, Father, Janet is a Christian. She says she's a Christian. And she says that she is praying against me, or you heard, or whatever. You handle a Christian different. They might not be a Christian, but they're saying they're Christians. And so you can't judge them. Jesus judges them. So what you do is you say, would you please judge Janet and for praying against me, and I bind her prayers. Well, then Jesus takes that prayer and those gossips and those slanders that Janet is doing against you, and he judges her immediately. And correctly. And I tell you, I've seen people die praying that.
Wow.
Because I've had people, you just don't have any idea.
Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it, Dr. Pat. I can believe it. One more question. I know you got tons of phone calls. So my cousin, you know, she's slowly converting. But, you know, every time I see her now, I don't see my family too often, just, you know, when the Lord really wants me to. And, you know, because they're coming to the Lord. And, you know, I told you what happened before Christmas. My mom and tried to take her life and everything. And so after that, you know, she repented of her sins and is trying to live for Jesus. And my cousin is trying to do the same thing. But so the demons just keep trying to take him back. And every time I see my cousin, you know, I can see Satan staring me in the face, like literally.
Yeah.
And so what I think is happening is she doesn't, I don't think she's professing Or maybe she's thinking, like, or maybe the demons are speaking those things and she's, like, wondering where they're coming from. But I think it's, like, can demons actually pray those things to Satan?
The demons can do anything.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening, is I think that it's actually the demon that's saying the prayers, and maybe not my cousin herself, but it's, like, maybe trying to make her think bad things, or, you know, and that in itself is, like, a curse, right?
Nicole, see, when you're talking, I can't talk.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This online system that they got, and
yeah.
When I'm talking, you can't talk, so.
Oh, okay.
But the demons can tell her anything and do anything. If
yeah.
she's not a believer or sold out, just keep binding and praying and do what you know to do, and God will get her. And release conviction of the Holy Ghost. And release experience, supernatural experiences over her and from Jesus. And if she's in the occult, ask Jesus to open up her eyes so she can see and hear. I do have to run.
I know you do. I know you do. I thank God for everything you guys are doing. And, you know, I thank God for the favor that he's giving you for the open door tomorrow night. You know, we're praying for that. Everybody in the chat room is praying for that. So
amen.
God bless you. And Thank you.
God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I got a phone call here. 601. 601 is on the air.
Hey, Dr. Pat and Dr. Sabrina.
Hi.
How are y'all doing? I enjoyed the program tonight. I just called because I want to, you know, you guys have prayed for me before for my stomach, you know, because it was so gassy and everything. Well, I don't have that problem now. I just want to tell you that, you know, it looks like everything is going good. But I feel like I'm not having problems with the gas, but it just feel like I have a lump on my stomach, you know, inside, you know, just a lump. That's the only way I can explain it. And I take some prayer for that. It just feel like a lump is in there.
Okay, well, Father, we curse that lump. We command that thing to collapse. We curse it right at its root. And, Father God, we command it to come out of that body in Jesus' name. Now, you just take a deep cough and you cough it. Cough it up. You have no authority. You have no power. You will leave in the name of in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. Whether it comes out from the mouth or the behind, we just give you glory that it must move out in Jesus' name. And we praise you right now. We kill it with the blood of Jesus. Now listen to me. Are you taking vinegar?
You know what? I haven't been, but I did take some a couple of weeks ago, and I stopped.
Well, get back on it and try to get the what's that?
Bragg,
B-R-A-G-G. Do it up on the computer because he's got it hasn't been pasteurized, and it'll help you a lot. Just go up there and look under vinegar. And
are you talking about the apple cider vinegar?
Yeah, apple cider vinegar, and take it, and it'll help the reflex, and it also will help the gas, and it'll just do you good. Go look up vinegar and see the wonderful Bragg's vinegar, and see the wonderful things that happen. And I thank you, Teach. I thank you for the call last week. Have you heard anything from your friend?
Oh, yeah. You know, I called to check on her, and she was just sounding so different because, you know, she said that when she was in the hospital, I came, you know, to her mind, and she said she was feeling like she wanted to die. She didn't even care that.
Yeah.
You know, she had gotten to the point where she wasn't caring about anything. She was feeling so bad. But I kept being on her mind, and she finally called me.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that it must be, you know, when she called, you were on the air and I was listening. So I said, evidently, this had to be what God, why God put me in her spirit.
Yeah.
And she said she feels so much better. And she didn't tell you the other night that she was sick on her stomach after she had been prayed for. But later on that night, after she did what Dr. Sabrina told her and she took that teaspoon of that oil, she got all that cold, you know, all that stuff came out.
Praise the Lord. Well, you see, Teach, it was the first time that had ever happened on the show. And
uh-huh.
when you called in and had her on the other end of the phone, we could hear her as clearly as we can hear you. And
uh-huh.
that way we're able to promote to our chat room and the people around the world that if they know somebody's sick, for them to call in and we can pray for, they might not need anything, but maybe they have a friend. So God
right.
bless you. I hope you come down to the conference.
If I don't, I'm going to make a donation, a nice donation, if I don't get a chance to come, because I can come during the summer.
Well, we want you to come, though. We want you to come.
Oh, okay.
And encourage other people to come and give donations, too. Because
okay.
we have to bear the expense of those conferences there. And God bless you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. Okay. Good night. Good night, Irene. Okay. Trying to get up. Hallelujah. Okay, 209, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Pat. Dr. Pat, this is Irene, and I just want to just say one quick prayer, and that is for the difference between being bold. I have a big family, and there's a lot of issues. Being bold to speak to them or pray for them, seeing for the opportunity, but do not being in any way proudish or judgmental against the way they act or do or behave or say the wrong things. You know the difference. I wanted to be anointed to just do what the Lord tells me, no more, no less, but be able to discern those two things.
Okay.
Would you pray that for me, please?
One of the things that you can do is you can get a hold to tracks that teach on salvation, and you can start leaving them around. We need to order some, remind me. You need to get a hold of tracts on salvation, and you need to pass them out, and that will help you. And then you just pray for the anointing. So, Sister Sabrina, she wants to be bold, and because you're so bold, and she wants the anointing so that she can speak to the people about Jesus. And so here,
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for our sister. I take authority and dominion from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus over any fear that she may have anywhere in her life, any confusion, any ineptness, any feeling that she's not good enough, she doesn't know enough, she doesn't know what the right things are to say. The Bible declares that if we open our mouths, you'll fill it with your word, and that you'll bring the word out. We have an unction from the Holy One, the scriptures say, and we know all things. So, Father, I take authority over any spirit that would come to hinder or thwart or bind or keep my sister from speaking out boldly in the name of Jesus. I bind those spirits and I cage them in the name of Jesus. I mute them and I muzzle them in the name of Jesus. Any demon spirit that would speak during that time that she's getting preparing for ministry, Father, I mute its mouth. I muzzle it with the blood of Jesus. I command those spirits to come up and out of her now in the name of Jesus from the root. I cut you off in the name of Jesus. Come out of her from the root in the name of Jesus and go to the feet that the judgment written against you be executed now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that no fear is in my sister. The Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. And Father, I want whenever she goes forth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I sever, cut her from the soul ties that she has with her family, ungodly soul ties, in the name of Jesus, because the difficulties are hindering her from moving forward in faith, in Jesus' name. I bind and cage every spirit that is coming against faith, in the name of Jesus. Release my sister's faith and boldness that is in Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, years ago, you constantly had people praying to have to be bold. So those same prayers I release over my sister now in Jesus' name. Anoint boldness on her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
The wisdom, Father, to know when to speak and when to hold the word in Jesus' name. I open her mouth by the Spirit of the Lord, and I say, come forth. Come forth the words of the Lord, the scriptures that are in you, that is implanted in your spirit. Come forth at the needed time and be spoken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Mother,
thank you.
Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I believe that Jesus Christ
died on the cross
for my sins.
I do repent.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive all of my sins. And live in my heart.
Be my personal Savior.
And I ask you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. And fill me with fire. And if there's any spirits in me,
and I speak to any spirits in me
To leave.
Now in Jesus' name.
Now take a deep breath and cough them out. The rest. This different person. Come out. Everything. Now I ask you to take a deep breath. And ask the Holy Ghost to fill you with His Holy Ghost.
Yes, I did. I think I was totally filled. I did have my prayer language for a while now, for a few years, more maybe 10 or 15 years. But I do want to make sure, so I did pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Amen.
You'll just raise your hand right now and say, praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Just start worshiping Him.
Oh,
say,
thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you and I thank you. You are the awesome God. You are the only one. You are the most high. I worship you. You are able. There's nothing too difficult for you. You are the most high God. I love you, Lord. You are my Redeemer, you are my Savior, you are my healer, you are my deliverer. And I wanted to serve you, Lord, according to your pleasure and your will, as it is in heaven. So it be in my life, in this world, in this time, everywhere I go. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shia Siri Aramakan, Bidia Siri Araba, Edekia Aramahani Ashutia Tori. Thank you, my Father in heaven. Hallelujah.
Okay, now I want you to stay up on miracleinternetchurch.com. Read some of the watch some of the TV programs and listen to the MP3s. They're free. And call
I
us.
Do that. I do that, Dr. Pat. I do it. I do it every time I have a chance.
Okay.
And I told other people about it, too. I send them the contact website and things like that. And I know, I really do know that this is what the Lord wants me to do.
Okay. God bless you. We have to get another call now.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Yeah. Wednesday night. Okay. Call us Wednesday night. Glory to God. We have a call, and it's from 347.
Hi, Dr. Pat. This is Katya from New York. I did want to comment on a few things you were saying before that I've experienced, just as a testament or a testimony to your word about the King James Bible. I went to a church, and we were having a morning devotion, and the elders opened to our Bibles, and they did say a passage. And after they said a passage, I told them, they've opened to, like, a different chapter because my Bible said something different. And everyone else's Bible, was saying something else, too. And they said, no, maybe I opened to a different version. So I showed them. And where it said Jesus, it said, like, Joshua in their Bible. So from that point on, I knew, there are certain versions which, might have gotten, like, a few things wrong. Because Jesus and Joshua are, like, two different things. And also about the healing power of God, that was, like, the introductory word. Yesterday, right, and sometimes I feel, like, very feeble, and whenever I pray, I do get healing. Like yesterday, I was feeling very terrible in the evening and I couldn't sleep. And when I did pray, the Lord did deliver me and heal me from whatever it was, which was making it uneasy for me to breathe. So just to encourage my brothers and sisters, the work of God is still going on. And only if we believe and we ask, He said we will receive.
Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. Jesus is great, and He loves you, and He will answer you just as quick as He will me. When you have faith, when you rise up in faith, He'll do it for you. We're running out of time today.
I did want to add just one more comment, briefly, when you talked about, checking the ministry of, some African pastors when they do come. And I totally agree with you. I'm African, I'm from Ghana, and I've had so much experience with them. Mostly it's about fame and, prophesying over your life, and it doesn't matter where the source is from. You know what I mean? I've met so many pastors from my country, and you never convince me to go to an African church. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But they
I'll just keep it simple. If we have time, I'd have elaborated more, but I'll just keep it simple. Maybe someday I'll talk more. But God is love, and most of the time when I'm around these people, the Lord shows me. You know what I mean? Sometimes not immediately, but eventually. So.
Okay, so by American pastors, how to cream people for their money. And when they
but the Africans are worse. God, I'm from there, so I know.
When they first come over, they're very humble.
Yes.
And these American pastors teach them how to collect money from the people instead of being concerned for deliverance and for whatever God sent them to do. They get after the money, and then they become fallen away. And so American preachers just don't understand that you have to watch what they do. And just because good, that means that you have to continuously watch them. And because I've had some to come over, at them, they were humble or evil. Okay. I'm glad that because Africa doesn't make them holy. just like we do. And so thank you for bringing that up. Are you coming down to the conference? And we've got 10 seconds.
And when is it going on? I don't think I will come. I'll be going to work, but maybe someday I should be able to come over.
Okay. That's going to be on February the 16th, 17th. At the
we'll have time. So I'll pray to the Lord to make a way, and we'll see what happens. But if I can, I'll let you know before I get there.
Okay, and it's going to be at, you can find the information of Best Western Hotel at patholiday.com. And we look forward to seeing you. And God bless you.
The Lord makes the way.
What you're learning. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amen. God is so good. Such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show tonight, Lord. And just take that word and cram it down in our people's hearts and let them know how much you love them. Be sure to call in. We love you. We'll be back here next Wednesday. But I'm going to be up on Daniel Ott's this coming tomorrow night,
yeah.
8 o'clock. And just agree in prayer that God will anoint me and that we'll reach a whole bunch of lost people all over the world. And we'll give God the glory. And maybe some people will, she says, am I gone? No, I'm still up here. She can't hear me. Oh, Dutch is gone. Okay, well, God bless you all. Good night, Dutch. Good night, Fran. We love you. It's been a good night. It sure has. And greater, God is greater. We appreciate all of your posts tonight. And we're going to believe that you'll be able to get down and some of the other people that are on the chat room will come. And some of the people that are listening, that you will pray sincerely about coming to the conference. Tell people to recast the program. And listen, we'll be back up here coming Wednesday night. Amen. God is so great. A child of darkness.
Messiah, Jehovah, the mighty God.